Now then, last Sunday night after the services, I said to Brother Bill Jividen, I was really surprised at how many young people that we had present in the service. I didn't realize we had that many present in the services on Sunday evening. And he said to me, well, preacher, if you just look around any Sunday night, it'd be that way. So I'm going to just ask, and this is a Memorial Day weekend, a lot of our regulars are out of town. I just want all the young people out of the youth groups, say from 21 down, the singles, to stand up all over the congregation. After Brother Huffman sits down. All the 21s, now let's stand up. All the 21 years and younger, all over the congregation. Isn't that a great, now let's give them a good hand. I praise God for it. And I know that out of this group of wonderful young people that God is going to raise up some missionaries and some pastors and some workers to carry on the work that must be carried on in the days ahead as the Lord tarries his coming. Now, I want you to turn tonight to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. I'm glad I'm a Christian tonight. I'm glad I'm an old-fashioned Christian. Old-fashioned enough to believe that every word of God is true. And I'll tell you that this group that believes and holds to and adheres to the infallibility and the accuracy and inspiration of the Scriptures is going to make a mark on this world. You just put it down. The most indelible mark that's ever been made is going to be made by people who believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I'm glad that I'm a Christian and I'm glad that I'm a preacher. I had the privilege this morning to sit in my office and hear our radio program. Do you know that fella sounds pretty good? I really didn't realize. I heard almost all of it. And I was reminded that almost every week somebody tells us about how much they've enjoyed it and how much they appreciate the radio ministry. So I hope that you'll be praying for that. But I know this, and you know it. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now in Numbers chapter 6, I'm going to read beginning at verse 22 through the end of the chapter, verse 27, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for Thy promise that wherever we have met together in Thy name, that Thou wouldst be in the midst of us. Dear God, we had rather be in this place and doing the thing that You've called us to do than to be anywhere in this wide world tonight. And how we thank Thee for such wonderful and faithful people that Thou hast given us here at Worth Baptist Church. We thank Thee for those who visit with us this evening. And we would ask Thy blessings upon member and visitor alike. And help us all, we pray, to honor and acknowledge Thee in all that we do. Should there be those without the Savior, may they come to trust Him. Should there be those, Heavenly Father, who need to dedicate, to rededicate, to consecrate their lives to Thee, may they find a place to do it ere this service comes to a close. For those who need to come and identify with this body of believers, may they come and do so in this service. In Jesus' name we ask it. And for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. Now, in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, and verse 22. And the Lord spake. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I'm glad God is not silent. God hath spoken. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. And the Lord spake. You'll find that over 25 100 times in the Old Testament. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons. And of course, Aaron represents the priesthood and his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now look back again at verse 26, my text. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. My message tonight is simply entitled, Let There Be Peace. It is the fifth in this series of Let There Be. The word peace has many meanings and many uses. Some of them, by way of example, a pact or an agreement to end hostilities between those who have been at war. That's one definition of peace. Another, the state of tranquility or quiet. Yet another, public order or security. Yet another, freedom from fears or from conflict. Now, among the Jews, the word is used as an ordinary greeting. We greet somebody and we say, hi. I don't know where we ever got that, do you? Or, howdy. Or, good morning. Or, good afternoon. Or, good day. Or, sometimes, goodbye. The Jews greet each other with the word shalom, which means peace, coming from the root word that the word Jerusalem comes from, the fountain of peace. The Arabs also greet each other with the same word, but it's a little bit different in the Arab language. It's shalom, without the H. But that's not only the difference between the Jews and the Greeks, or rather Jews and the Arabs. There's a great deal of difference. But at any rate, throughout the scripture, even right here in my text, Moses says to the high priest, his brother Aaron, and to his sons, bless the people with these words, the Lord give thee peace. It is used, as we've already said, in many different meanings and usages in the Bible and outside the Bible. My message, Let There Be Peace, brings forth three things. First, let there be peace because peace is unknown among the unsaved. Now, if one of you gentlemen will step out there may be somebody in the lobby that needs a little help to get in. Let there be peace. First, because peace is unknown among the unsaved. Now, the majority of the people in the world tonight are headed in the wrong direction. Now, that's not just what I think about it. That is what Jesus said was the case. And you'll read it in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, look, the way that leads to destruction is broad. There is a broad avenue, a broad way that leads to destruction, and many there be that enter therein. Now keep your minds on the word many. Then Jesus said, the way that leads to life, to eternal bliss, to everlasting joy and blessedness, is a straight, that is close, and narrow way. And few there be that find it. Many as opposed to few. I say again, the majority of the people tonight are headed in the wrong direction. And among those, there is no genuine peace. In Isaiah 48 and verse 22, we read these words, there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. In Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, we read these words. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The Apostle Paul, some 750 years later in Romans 3:17, says, the way of peace have they not known. The unsaved man, the wicked man, the unbeliever knows nothing about genuine, God-given, everlasting, Bible-based, Holy Ghost-oriented, heaven-sent peace. They don't know anything about it. That's what the book says. So the majority of the people in the world tonight are without peace. Well, I know that there are many radicals and revolutionaries that are crying peace, and the peace symbol is evidenced everywhere. But you know what this is doing? It's setting the stage for the end time. The more you hear the word peace cried, the more you know that the end of this age is drawing nigh. It is not a true peace that they talk about, cry about, march for, and protest for. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3, Paul writes, when they cry, peace, peace, sudden destruction cometh upon them, even as a woman in travail. And you mothers know more than anybody else what that means. I say again, let there be peace, because the unsaved, unregenerate world tonight does not have any peace. Or they might have a moment of satisfaction. They might have a so-called good time that lasts only temporarily. But they do not have a deep-seated, deep-settled, God-given peace. That's why we ought to be busily engaged in sharing Christ with others, because apart from Him and without Him, there is no peace. Let there be peace, because the majority of the people in your city and mine, the majority of the people in your country and mine, the majority of the people in this world don't know what peace is. They're running to and fro. They're seeking peace, but they're not finding it, because they're seeking in the wrong place. Let there be peace, because among the unsaved, there is no peace. And then I say in the second place, let there be peace, because peace characterizes the Christian. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep, preserve, maintain, uphold, strengthen. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Didn't say who goes to church on Sunday morning. or who goes to church on Sunday night, but it says whose mind is stayed upon thee. You know, a lot of Christians give God thought only on Sunday. But the prescription is whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In Matthew 5:9 we read, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now man can't go around making peace unless he has that peace first in his own heart. We read in John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Did you ever wish that you would be included in somebody's will? Well, whether you know it or not, you've already been included in somebody's will. You're included in the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. He willed his body to Joseph of Arimathea, who buried him in a new-made tomb. He willed his mother Mary to John, the beloved apostle. He willed his spirit back to God. He willed his peace to you and me. Isn't that a beautiful thought? My peace leave I with you, or give I unto you. He didn't leave us silver and gold. If he had, somebody in the first century would have probably already stolen it. But beloved, we have a peace that the world cannot take away simply because the world didn't give it. And I wouldn't give you a plug nickel. I wouldn't give you a bucket with a hole in it for something that I didn't know was deep settled in my heart tonight. A peace that passes all understanding through Jesus Christ. Let the troubles of life come. Let the problems of life overwhelm. Let the enemy come in like a flood. Let 10,000 march against us. But there's a peace like a river that floods our soul, because Jesus said, my peace give I unto you. Money won't buy it. Bonds won't secure it. Education won't obtain it. It only comes through simple faith in the redemptive work of Christ my Lord. I'm glad that peace characterizes the Christian. Paul writes in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In Galatians 5:22 we read, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's not a law in the land that can legislate against the peace that God has given you in your heart tonight. Now, there might come a time. I say there might come a time when you'll have your home taken away from you. There might come a time when you'll have your family taken away from you. There might come a time when you'll have your car, your money, your every earthly possession. There might be a time when you'll have your Bible taken away from you. But there'll never come a time in this world nor in the world to come when you'll have the peace of God taken away from you. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The choir sang, the peace that's in our heart. Whatever comes, whatever goes, live or die, sink or swim, survive or perish, today and tomorrow, in life and in death, for time and for eternity, I have the peace of God in my heart. No wonder Paul wrote in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, the peace of God, not the peace of man, not the peace of nations, not the peace of governments, not the peace of money, not the peace of wealth or popularity or prestige or power, but the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God for that peace that so characterizes the Christian. No wonder the psalmist wrote in chapter 4 and verse 8, I will both lay me down and sleep. I will both lay me down and sleep, for thou, Lord, makest me to dwell in safety. That's peace. When you go to bed tonight, you don't know what's going to happen in the night. You don't know when some mad, stark, raving person is going to come in to destroy you and destroy your home. You don't know when the winds of the tornadoes are going to sweep the roof off of your house. You don't know when the enemy might get through undetected the radar screen that we have up all around this great country. And you know, I hear some of these pacifists talking about laying down our arms. That's what the devil wants us to do. That's what the enemy wants us to do. I don't think we ought to lay down our arms. I think we ought to have greater arms. Because unless we can show the world that we have strength to protect freedom and democracy, we're gone. You don't know when the enemy is going to get through the radar screen, undetected, and maybe blast us off the face of the earth. But you know, we can just, like the psalmist said, I will both lay me down and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. You see, if we live, he's going to be with us. If we die, we're going to be with him. You know what? When they threatened the Hebrew children to throw them in the fiery furnace, you know what they said? They said, O king, we're not careful to answer thee about this thing. We don't even have to call a conference to see. We know what we're going to do. We're not going to bow down and worship you, even if you do put us in a fiery furnace. If so be that our God shall deliver us. But if not, if God doesn't deliver us out of the fiery furnace, they say in that same chapter, Daniel 3, he will deliver us out of thy hand. You know, I read that a long time, and then one day it just like that hit me right in the face. I thought they were contradicting themselves there for a little bit. Now let's get it. They said, if God doesn't deliver us out of the fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thy hands. If they had gone up in smoke and flames in that fiery furnace, they would have been gone to be with God out of the hands of the king forever. That's what they meant. That just was saying we believe in heaven. We believe in the hereafter. We believe in immortality. Well, I'm going to preach on that one of these days, but I'm talking about peace now. Peace. That if, when you lie down tonight, all of these things might flood your mind, just turn over and read again Psalm 4 and verse 8. I will both lay me down and sleep, for thou only makest me to dwell in safety. And then in Psalm 37, listen to these words. Mark the perfect man. And behold, the upright. The end of this man is peace. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of this man. The final, the climax, the grand finale of this man is peace. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Something may happen along the way and he doesn't understand it, and that peace might seem to be disturbed momentarily. But the end of this man, that's what you've got to look at. You saw that this morning in the Sunday school lesson, didn't you? The psalmist was so discouraged, no wonder he'd been out of church for a long time. No man outside the church can have the proper perspective of what God's doing in the world. I don't care who he is. I don't care how long he's been saved. I don't care how many years he's taught a Sunday school class. A man who is not in constant contact with God in the fellowship of the gospel and in the church can't have the proper perspective of what God's doing in the world today. Until I went into the sanctuary, and there I discovered their end. The end of the wicked is everlasting destruction. The end of the righteous is peace. Let there be peace, because peace characterizes the Christian. And then I say, let there be peace, because peace will be the keynote of the kingdom. We're living in a world of unrest tonight. There's upheaval in Asia, in the Middle East. There's enough turmoil and tension 90 miles off of our Florida coast in Cuba tonight to turn this whole nation into an uproar. There's unrest in the world. But one day there's going to be rest. There's war. But one day there's going to be peace. There's discord. But one day there's going to be harmony. There are divisions. But one day there's going to be unity. You know when that's going to happen? When Jesus comes. Not before. Well, I know there are great denominational and religious bodies all over the world that are trying to bring in a kingdom. How can you have a kingdom without a king? That's a false kingdom. That's a false millennium. Peace will not come until Jesus comes. And this world will not have peace until Jerusalem has peace. Because that's the core of the whole thing. No wonder we read in Psalm 122 and verse 6. Pray for the peace of Washington. Oh no. Now nobody would deny that Washington needs praying for. And please don't fail to pray for Washington. But Psalm 122:6 says, pray for the peace of Havana. Everybody knows that Castro needs a lot of prayer. Pray for the peace of Moscow. And everybody all over the free world knows that Moscow needs prayer. Pray for the peace of Berlin. And everybody all over the world knows that Berlin needs prayer. But that's not what the book says. The book says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. For when Jerusalem has peace, Washington will have peace, and Moscow, and all the capitals of the world, when the capital of the world has peace. There have been many peace treaties. You know, at the end of the Revolutionary War, when they drew up the Treaty of Washington, I'm sure they thought that would be the last treaty they'd ever have to draw, that was a lasting peace. After World War II, Woodrow Wilson said, this is the war to end all wars. It wasn't 25 years before World War II broke out. And when the days of World War II ended and the peace treaties were drawn up, the League of Nations and the United Nations. Tonight, let me say this. The United Nations is as helpless to bring peace to this world as a kitten is fighting against a tiger. They just can't do it. They just can't do it. There will not be any lasting, enduring peace until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes that peace himself. You see, the greatest of all peace treaties will be the peace treaty of the kingdom age. The only foundation for enduring peace is righteousness. And one day, the city of Jerusalem, fountain of peace, isn't that ironic? There's been less peace in Jerusalem than any other capital in all the world. And yet it's named Fountain of Peace. But one day Jerusalem is going to have a new name. You know what that name is? Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And when righteousness is established in Jerusalem, there shall be peace in Jerusalem. I'm talking to you tonight about a treaty that began a long time ago. I read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Even at his birth, the angelic chorus sang, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Did you know that in all the history of mankind, there have been less than 200 years of peace? In a period called Pax Romana, or the Roman Peace. From the year 27 BC to 100 AD, from the Emperor Trajan to Marcus Aurelius, 200 years of declared international peace in all the history of the nations of earth. But the peace I'm talking to you about began a long time ago, the peace treaty. It was written in blood, for on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ made peace between God and man. And only as men appropriate this peace can there be peace between nations and peace between individuals. Only with that peace. It is a treaty of divine origin. This began in heaven. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This peace treaty that I'm talking about of the kingdom age is a treaty that is universal in scope. It won't affect only Israel. It'll affect every nation under the shining sun. For Isaiah declares in his second chapter, verse 4, that in that day men shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. When is that, preacher? In the days of the kingdom. You can't have it now. America can't have it now. The nations of earth can't have it now. The United Nations can't have it now. Disarmament is not the answer to it. Oh no. Jesus is the answer. And His eternal and everlasting kingdom that has an endurance that shall last forever. Remember Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of His government and His peace, there shall be no end. Peace doesn't begin at the conference table. If peace could be brought about at the conference table, we'd have had peace a long time ago. They've been talking peace in Paris now for 2 years. We're not any closer to peace than we were. I say peace does not begin at the conference table. It begins in the heart of mankind. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, if there's righteousness in the heart. Remember now, righteousness is the only true foundation for peace. If there's righteousness in the heart, there'll be beauty in the character. If there's beauty in the character, there'll be harmony in the home. If there's harmony in the home, there'll be order in the nation. If there's order in the nation, there'll be peace in the world. It begins in the heart. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Let there be peace, because the unsaved know nothing of peace. Let there be peace, because peace characterizes the Christian. Let there be peace, because peace will be the keynote of the kingdom. You won't mind if I just speculate a little bit, will you? When Jesus comes to establish his kingdom on the earth, somehow I believe he's going to give a keynote address. And I believe he's going to say to all the world, as the waters cover the sea, so shall the peace of God cover this earth. For Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Behold the islands with their kings, and Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south the princes meet, to pay their tribute at his feet. At his feet, he's going to bring peace. He'll give you peace tonight in your heart if you'll just give him a chance. All God needs, all God wants is a chance. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for that peace that is deep in our hearts, a peace that cannot be disturbed by the environment, the pollution, the threat of war, the rummage, the filth, the trash, the dirt, the scum of the earth. A peace that cannot be disturbed by the unrest on the campus. A peace that cannot be disturbed by the unrest in the president's house tonight, the White House. A peace that cannot be disturbed by the conditions of the governor's mansion. A peace that cannot be disturbed by whatever's happening in City Hall. A peace that passes all understanding. We thank thee for it tonight. And we pray that if there be those who have not experienced this peace, that they might come even in this moment and have that peace in their hearts. For those, Heavenly Father, who've allowed other things to crowd in, to fill their hearts and lives where thy word should have been and thy work should have been, don't let them leave tonight until they come and get a renewed affirmation of their faith in Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, again, for those who need to come to unite with this church, may they come even tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, and with thanksgiving, amen.